The Oceano Board of Directors, February 25th meeting. We're going to call this meeting to order. Can we get a roll call?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Guerrero?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Let's all stand and do the flag salute.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Do we have any reviews for the agenda, or any corrections or additions? Anybody?
Would anybody object if we moved the resolution from 9D to 10, make it 10A, and the only issue, I wanted to discuss the language of it a little bit.
You're saying 9B?
9D is a dog?
Okay, D is a dog, because I was going to say that's cash disbursement. Okay, so you want to move it to where? I'm sorry.
To 10A.
10A?
Yeah.
Okay.
I see no problem.
I don't.
Sounds fine to me.
Is everybody okay with that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
President Lucy?
Yes.
Also, under item 14, we had noted received written communications attached. They were not attached. They have been handed out, so those should be moved to item 15, late received written communications.
Is that this packet here?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Pavel.
Oh, this report?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So is there any other changes? And Matt, if I don't catch that, will you back me up?
Yep.
Thank you very much, sir. All right. Moving right along. Public comment for items that are not on the agenda.
Sorry about that. Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I wondered if your board happened to catch the newspaper this week where the city of San Luis Obispo has come out in opposition of the rail spur project at Phillips 66. And I encourage you to perhaps get a copy of their resolution, the letter, maybe even review their board meeting and their discussion about it. It occurs to me that the community of Oceano, being pretty much the closest, most densely populated neighbor to the project, has a lot at risk with a project of this type, and that really your small 1.6 square miles, I believe, an accident on the magnitude of some of what we've seen across the country and in Canada would take Oceano off the map. And I don't think anyone wants to see that. So I would like to see a future discussion among your board and take a position in opposition to the project.
Thank you. Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Ms. Lucy. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. Your last meeting was on February 11th. Unfortunately, I missed that meeting. I'd spent most of the day at the California Coastal Commission, where they were reviewing the condition compliance for the off-highway vehicle situation. And, of course, I did follow the replay of your meeting, and I heard some comments that were made and so forth. But what I wanted to mention was 2 days later, at the public comment in the morning, Evelyn Delaney made some comments about the ODSVRA and the off-highway vehicle operations. If you remember, Evelyn Delaney is a former District 3 county supervisor. Evelyn was in office the same time Ruth Brackett was the District 4 supervisor. And Evelyn, being a lifelong Pismo Beach resident, recounted history and how there used to be a ramp in Pismo, and one winter in a big storm, the ramp got washed away. This is a ramp for beach access for off-highway vehicles, and they rebuilt the brand new ramp, and it too got washed away. And I think that's about the time Pismo decided to not have vehicles on the beach anymore. Since then, Pismo Beach has prospered. Their fiscal year 13-14 budget is $29 million. They have the same number of people as Oceano. Your budget is $4 million-ish. And the point is that there may be a relationship between the revitalization and prosperity of a community as it relates to the off-highway vehicle industry. And I think it's noteworthy that Pismo has come so far, and frankly, they've done it at the expense, to some extent, of Oceano, the community of Oceano. And Ms. Lucy, you made some remarks that inferred that perhaps Grover or Royal Grande, Pismo in particular, might kick down a little bit of their economic benefit to Oceano. And so I'd encourage you to have that dialogue with the cities. I'm not real optimistic about their willingness to kick down some revenue from the whole operation, but please, I encourage you to have that discussion. And then I'll just close my remarks by mentioning another item I did miss that Wednesday night. And apparently, Oceano, your district now has the trash police. This new, I guess it's clean and green program that you discussed, and I guess you passed. You now have staff that drives around and identifies garbage in the community and writes letters and notifies the residents and basically harasses people into removing their trash. And I have to say that this seems to be a departure from your core mission, a substantial departure. You're a water company, fundamentally.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
And so I would just close by saying maybe returning to the old days of cleanup would be a good thing to address that problem. Thanks.
Any other public comment tonight? Seeing none, we're going to move on. Yes.
If I might, just for clarification. President Lucy, just for clarification purposes, the presentation that Mario provided last week regarding the... It's based on a long-standing ordinance that was adopted by your board many years ago.
Yes.
And what Mario has basically done is picked up implementation of a program previously established by ordinance and which, district staff simply had not been doing.
It's hard to coordinate everybody's trash on the same day. Okay, moving right along. Any special presentations tonight? Nope. Hearing none, we'll move right into reports. Tony, I'm going to take you first. How are you, Mr. Maraschino?
Good. Good evening, Board. Tony Maraschino. Since we last spoke from the last board meeting, we had 12 work orders, 4 USAs. We had 5 customer service calls. We disconnected the power to well 5 so we can start prepping to demo the building. Also disconnected the power to an old CL2.
What's a CL2?
Chlorine shed.
Okay.
It was an old gas chlorine shed there on site at the yard. So we demoed that already. We went to replace a leaking service on Lancaster. Lancaster's in the city of Royal Grande, but the main's about the age of it's 1954. So it's all galvanized service lines going to these homes, and we're noticing it's starting to leak. We went to go replace it last week. We noticed it was directly tapped to the main. There was no way for us to shut it off. So we had to postpone till this week so we can notify the 35 homes that we're shutting the water off for approximately a half an hour to remove the saddle, put a new saddle and a new corp on there so we can isolate that service line. That all got taken care of this week. We had to rebuild a clay valve at the yard. Been doing some fire hydrant maintenance, some weed abatement, and just prepping for well 8 still, and well 5, getting some stuff in a row. And one other thing, we have a backhoe from 1981. It's almost 35 years old, so you're looking at 34 years old. It's on its last leg. Right now it's broke down on the side of the street. And something for food for thought. We're going to have to look at purchasing a new one or a used one, something a little bit more modern so that we don't have to keep putting money into something that's basically obsolete.
Do you know what's wrong with that particular backhoe?
Yeah, it's a fuel sensor. Not a fuel sensor. It's almost like a fuel pump.
Okay.
It's about a $1,000 part. But you don't want to keep putting money, good money, to something.
Well, we're coming into budget discussion, so
yeah,
we'll have to
just
add that to our
thought, back of your mind.
Our depreciation schedule and our pro forma. So
yes,
if you could make sure that that's included through the
yes
yard side of it, we can consider that.
It won't be parked for more than 72 hours, right?
Absolutely not.
Is anybody legal camping in it?
Is anybody camping in it? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. We appreciate you being out there for us. All right. Do we have anybody from the Sheriff's House Station?
I don't see anybody here from the Sheriff's Station, but I think something that warrants recognition is that a number of our South County deputies out of this particular station received Medals of Valor today for an incident that actually happened in Napomo. But what it was there was a carjacking. They ended up in a high-speed chase with the suspect, and he crashed his vehicle and ran and went into a home where a woman and her 4-year-old child were. And the sheriff's deputies, the woman made it out, and the sheriff's deputies, Slaughter, Pinafore, Wyatt, Alm, Bird, and I'm forgetting somebody, I can't remember who it was, they ended up rescuing the 4-year-old child who was unharmed. And when the woman came out, she said that the suspect had a gun on him, and obviously was barricaded in her home. And so nobody was hurt, and so it was an excellent result by our local sheriffs out of the station next door. So
yay.
Thank you to those guys.
Good. Tax dollars at its best work. And do we have anybody from the Five Cities Fire Authority? No, not
me.
Tonight?
Just me.
Okay.
Just
you. You just want to do it under your report?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, hearing none, board and directors outside committees. And we'll start with Mr. Guerrero.
I don't have anything to report.
Okay. Karen?
Yes, I'll provide a report first on the Five Cities Fire Authority. One thing that everybody needs to know, we are changing the meeting to 10 a.m. on Fridays from 2 p.m.
Okay.
And hoping that it would be easier for people to get there. We still have some paperwork to do on it, but I believe it starts next month. The other thing is we approved at last Friday's meeting an application for a SAFER grant for 3 engineers. These firefighters would be funded for 2 years. They will all 3 come to Oceano to increase Oceano's manning level. And at the same time, we looked at future financing, especially how after 2 years we could continue to fund these firefighters. And there has not been any big major fires in the last couple of weeks. There's been traffic accidents and lots of other stuff. And we continue to have 11 to 15% of our calls are mutual aids outside of our fire district.
Okay, great. And you want to state that change in time and location again for me, please?
Be the third Friday of every month at 10 a.m. at the Grover City Hall.
Karen, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if I could speak with you or possibly the fire chief about seeing a copy of that grant application. Would I be able to either, should I talk to you or should I go ahead and talk to the fire chief?
I didn't bring it tonight.
Oh, that's fine. You do have it. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Great.
And then I also can do something on who's doing Oceano Advisory.
Oh.
I can do it.
Okay, please. Thank you.
Oceano Advisory met on Monday. We gave, as an advisory group, we recommend to the county that they proceed with a lot split at 1955 Castaic and Oceano. It would be there is an old house on the site that would be refurbished and there are two other lots, and each of the lots would be at least 7,000 square feet. So they're good. There'd be three good-sized lots there. And we also... Hang on a second. I have so much stuff here. We also received Gennaro Diaz, project manager for San Luis County, was here reviewing the... He is working on Oceana revitalization in connection with the 13th Street drainage project and also other areas. And everything is just in the discussion stage, but he is trying to coordinate so some of the stuff that's done on the 13th Street drainage will also link to stuff that the county would like to do in realigning 13th Street and 17th Street.
That's Gennaro that's doing that?
Yeah,
okay.
Diaz.
Yes, I'll go see him.
And they've got three or four proposals on how to realign 17th Street. And at the same time, Caltrans is doing bump outs. Mm-hmm. Not bump outs.
Bump outs.
The ADA.
Huh?
ADA. The ADA ramps.
ADA cutouts. Because Diaz is looking at bump outs. They're doing cutouts at... 13th, 15th, and 17th for handicap. And that, I saw them working on it mm-hmm. last week, or no, Monday. And I'm just going over whatever else we did. We were tentatively planned to have a San Maria Oil Refinery Project update, and that was put on hold because... There's going to be quite a bit of delay in getting the EIR out and going through the process, and so it was suggested that we wait several months for that. We also received a brief report on the Central Plaza project at 2120 Cienega, and they're seeking both a general plan amendment and a land use permit at the same time. And they're now proposing 30 business or 30 residential units there. And he will return on that, huh? Oh, Central Plaza is at 2120 Cienega, over
across
by
the street from Central Market.
Across the street from Central Market, yeah. So that's still in the pipeline.
Was that originally for 21 units?
I don't remember.
But yeah, I don't remember it hit as high as 30.
Yeah.
Is there commercial on the bottom?
I don't think we have specific plans for it yet.
No, we haven't seen exactly what's going to come through on it. And and we also were introduced to Captain Mike Bueno, who is the new captain for the California Highway Patrol in... San Luis Obispo Division. Guess what? He's a 1994 graduate of Roy Grande High School. He's a homeboy. He's worked all over the state of California, and he finally has been able to make his way home. He's very excited to be here.
Great.
Oh, good
and
for
I
him.
Think that's at least some of the highlights.
Okay. Ms. Blackburn.
I attended the introduction to water law seminar that was held by the Paralegal Association, and that was interesting. And I think that was the only meeting I had.
Okay. Lori? I did not attend the airport meeting. I had a conflict with it this last week.
Okay. I actually did attend one meeting. It was so exciting, I forgot. I attended the Sanitation District for the South County. That area is, there's a lot of attention being drawn to it, and I think rightfully so. There's been a lot of good comments coming out of the community and staff. Couple areas that need to be brought to people's attention is that there's another law firm up in Sacramento, I think, that also represents the South County Sanitation District. I've asked for that contract to be reviewed. The WillServe looked really somewhat high. We looked at an RFP to release for an audit of operations and best practices. It seemed to be, you know, sufficient. Maybe, you know, I think they did the best they could on writing requests for proposals. So I'm pretty sure that should be, is that still, do you think that's still in review, or do you think it's up on the web page by now?
I don't know. I haven't checked.
Okay, well, people might want to check the South County Sanitation District to see if there is an RFP up on the web page if they're interested in looking that over. The board did take the final vote on whether to support an audit or not, and the board unanimously did support the audit. There was a cost of living adjustment for the staff, 2%. And then there was a small discussion regarding the increase of the directors to from 3 members to 5 members, and so that will be an ongoing discussion. And the question would be is, where would the other 2 seats come from? It couldn't come from the vested, you know, parties that are there now.
Yeah.
Or it could. Depends on how they shape that, but either way it has to have legislation. And so and that about sums it up as far as the meeting went. Anybody have any questions? Great. Okay. So on that note, we're going to move to the consent agenda, which is item number 9. And we'll take public comment for any items that are on the consent agenda. Anybody from the public who wishes to speak to items that are on the consent agenda? Consent agenda is where we take several housekeeping, several issues, and put them together and just vote on them as a block. So, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Ms. Lucy. I just 30 seconds, and I'll retain the rest of my time for the next public comment period. But I wanted to bring your attention to the cash disbursements, particularly the FUGRO disbursement. It's almost $5,000. And again, I'm just curious. It seems that there's the NCMA is in a state of flux right now. Grover Beach has changed legal counsel, as you know. AG is doing some things, PISMO, so that might be worth you reviewing. Thanks.
Just for the record, PISMO Beach pulled their legal support out almost a year and a half, 2 years ago. So the last 2 people who have legal support in that consortium is Oceano and Arroyo Grande. Thank you for pointing that out. Anybody else have public comment? Okay, great. So
I'll move to approve items 9A through 9C.
I actually need to recuse myself, particularly for item C.
You look too close.
Because I live within 500 feet. Yeah.
All right, then I'll move to approve items 9A and 9B.
Second.
Okay, so can we get a roll call vote on this one, please?
Sure. Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes.
Okay. You can't ask me.
Jennifer,
you just
vote on
he just did A and B, right?
Jennifer's
refused.
For 9C.
Okay?
For 9C, this is A and
for
B.
For living too close, correctly.
Right.
Is that right?
So I can...
You can vote on these
vote
two.
On A and B.
Okay, so Director Blackburn.
It's a little confusing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you're going to recuse yourself for C?
Yes, because I live within 500 feet of
okay.
The
end.
Yes.
Right. I'll move to approve 9C.
Second.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White, Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
And President Lucy?
Yes.
President, I'm going to legal counsel. There's a little bit of a clarification on what your board is allowed to do during consent when one or more members recuse themselves for various issues. So.
So I just want to make sure, because I saw Director Blackburn standing up, when items are on the consent agenda, you don't have to recuse yourself and leave the area because there's no discussion or deliberation on items on the consent agenda. And then once you recuse yourself from a specific item, that'll be noted in the minutes, and the board still can adopt the whole consent agenda as a whole with that clarification. So.
Okay, so when there's discussion, then we need to get up and leave the table. When there's no discussion, then we can just silently speak.
Correct. So it'll just be reflected.
No facial expressions.
Right.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we still need to hear a motion with Director Blackburn back to the table on 9D.
No, 9C. It passed.
9D has been moved to 10A.
Sorry.
9D is now 10A. Yeah.
My bad again. Okay. And this is where you wanted to put
9B to 10A.
Right. Okay, so.
If you should take public comment on this because we had no business items before, but if there's
correct.
Any.
Correct. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't a B and a D. Okay. Do we have any public comment? For any presentations, reports, board members, outside committees, anything of that nature? Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I had some interest in the reports as I heard them. I also heard the report for Five Cities Fire from the Arroyo Grande representative at their meeting. I watched that. And I understood first from your chief that the grant application wasn't available to the public. And if it's been available to the three board members, then it's automatically available to the public. So I'd like to see that before it's sent. When you said that the three engineers would come to Oceano, I'm not clear. Would they just work here and those would be the three guys that only work here? Maybe we'll hear more about that if the grant's awarded, of course. But the concern I had was something that Ms. Harmon said in Arroyo Grande, was that the future funding of these firefighters would come from each of the three agencies paying the salary of each of those positions at $167,000 annually. And I know Oceano cannot afford to pick up a salary like that from your fire budget.
Just hold and then I'll have her.
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible. I'm certain it's not. And then the other was I was also in attendance at the South County Sanitation District, and Ms. Lucy, you forgot to mention the Kennedy Jenks report and the redundancy project that is their estimation right now is $12 million of improvements to the plant. And that the next thing we will see is a new rate structure and a rate increase to accommodate that very costly expenditure. So your ratepayers are going to be on the hook for that. And what that means to each of their rates is what we'll be finding out when we see that rate structure in the very near future as proposed by the consultant. So that's up and coming. That's all for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson. I just want to say real clearly, as I did not present on the Kennedy report because it was an oral presentation and there wasn't an action item behind it. So, anyway, it actually was, I think it was filed, was the action, and so I take that back. There was action. It was just not filed. So thank you, Ms. Tacker. And Ms. White, is there anything you'd like to elaborate on as far as the fire authority goes?
Well, yes. I mentioned that we would try to fund them after the two years of the grant. But I don't think in my recollection, because I didn't bring it, I'm sorry, I do not believe that is exactly the way the funding goes. We're already funding the fire department on a proportional share. So, you know, and I, as far as it, the document being public or not, I have no idea. I just know that I was read it at the, I mean, it was given to us in our agenda package.
Yeah, I would ask legal counsel, when things like that occur where people want to see grants and stuff, particularly if you sit on an advisory body for a competing agency, that could very well you know, be problematic to release your proposal to an entity that also is applying for funds. Mm-hmm. And so to not mislead people or to interfere with anybody's grants or anything like that. Can you check and see? Because I think after the deadline, it's okay, but I don't know how those grants work.
I'll confirm on that.
Yeah, because I would hate to see somebody's project.
Your microphone's off, Jeff.
I'll confirm on that and follow up with you.
Thank you very much, and then we'll follow up with you. Okay, so, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Ms. Lucy. Board members, Jeff Edwards. I would like to applaud Ms. Lucy's remarks at the SAND district meeting last week concerning the Downey brand contract and reworking that contract. I think it is timely. On that same agenda, you heard about the redundancy. The notion is that the Water Board is driving the need for this redundancy, $12 million plus, and I think that that needs to be revisited with the Water Board. The more alarming project that I heard 2 weeks prior on February 4th was this recycled water project, and that the Sand District is now in the recycled water business. And I think that's a considerable departure from their mission. More alarming than anything, and I presented this to the OAC on Monday, is the location of the scalping plant, which is at the entrance to Oceano on Highway 1, as if you don't already have enough facilities in this community. So I would ask you to put that on your radar, and while everybody is all about recycled water or supports recycled water, first you have to have a buyer, and then you need to figure out where your facilities are going to be. And since they're mostly in Oceano now, I think they could probably rethink that. I also wanted to chat about the Board of Supervisors hearing a week ago yesterday on capital improvements. And it's noteworthy that the county is investing, I guess we'll call it that, some $17 million in Oceano. I mean, I don't know if you knew that. But the county is spending, as we speak, $17 million in this community. The lion's share of that, I will tell you, is about $14 million, $11 million of which is associated with the Arroyo Grande Waterway Management Plan. And basically, it's making a little deeper and building up the levee a little bit. That's $11 million. Add to that the $3 million Highway 1 and 13th Street drainage project, and that gets you up to your $14 million. My concern is that really, Oceano, I don't believe you're getting much bang for the buck. For that kind of money, for those kind, that million dollars, $17 million, I would like to see the county rethink some of those investments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Does anybody want to comment on any of these comments? No? Great. Okay. Hearing none, we'll go on to 10D.
10A.
Right?
That was the old 9D, and it's the new 10A.
10A, excuse me. See, I knew I'd blow it.
9D to 10A.
You're fine.
Okay. So, you pulled this one out for discussion.
Yes, and we do have a staff report on this. I just had, you know, we do have a history of less than a year ago, our former general manager getting us in a position where we had a couple of hearings regarding this. or will serve letters that were appealed to the board, that were the appeals were granted. And so my thinking is one that I like having them come to the board for at least for the consent agenda. I think that's an appropriate way of doing it. But if the board does want to pass a resolution authorizing this, I think in the what starts in the last paragraph on the first page, which is item 3 of 4, whereas for those land use proposals where the conditions for OCDS, that's a typo, or maybe not, OCSD, municipal services can be readily derived from OCSD ordinances, resolutions, rules, regulations, and standards. It is in the public interest that the OCSD general manager is authorized to issue intent to serve letters, final will serve letters, and other conditions on street lighting services. I think there should be some language. I haven't worked it out perfectly, but if we were to adopt this, that say so long as they are issued in a consistent manner and not in an arbitrary or capricious manner. Again, that was one of the concerns with the former general manager. And it probably just states the law anyway, but that's kind of my thinking on it.
Can I ask you, is it too early to ask you a question on this?
This item was brought forward to your board based on your board's request, so it's totally at your pleasure, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
So they're requesting 7 acre feet, and would that go down?
No, we're on
that final will serve letter. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I thought we were on this one. Sorry. I apologize.
It's okay.
I have a question. How many will serve letters did we involve? Was the district involved in last year? Because
Celia might know.
I mean, was it a dozen? Was it 25? Because I'm thinking if there's just a few every year, I mean, growth is not that rapid, then maybe they should come to the board. But if it's something that is kind of can be rubber stamped, at least half of them can be rubber stamped, then it would be much more efficient, probably. I don't know about for the board, but it would be more efficient for the people who are actually applying for the service, because it would come, it would be a clear picture for them.
And I don't know exactly how many, or I would guess that it was, not a lot of will serve letters came through last year.
I think less than a dozen.
The work that we're actually doing is not going to be any significantly different, whether it's on your board agenda or whether it's not on your board agenda. And in addition, the timing required to get on the board agenda is not lengthy, and it, from a practical standpoint, it will be a rare situation where it actually has, creates a constraint on the property owner seeking the will serve letter. In fact, if it does create a constraint on a property owner, usually that's going to be because the property owner wasn't, getting to us soon enough or whatever. So, again, I don't see there being any significant difference in workload or a big significant difference in timing in the vast majority of situations. This item, again, was just brought based on discussions and future agenda items. As future agenda items, we did not have the, liberty to discuss them in detail or not. But in any case, based on the board's request, we put together the resolution real quick, put it on the agenda. But I don't see significant differences either whether this is adopted or whether it's not adopted.
I had a similar concern as Director Guerrero, and had made a note about possibly standardizing the actual process of handing them out to go along with the resolution. But it was also brought to my attention by our general manager that as we clean up our ordinances and those standards and procedures, that might take away the need for that process. But yeah, my concern is not with current staff, but in the past how things have been interpreted differently. Mm-hmm. And so,
if I might, mm-hmm. to follow up on Director Blackburn's comments and our conversation separately, was that because there is some, you know, lack of perfection, I guess, in the existing ordinances, and because we know we need to address will serve and development processes at some point in time in the future, then if your board desired to defer this issue at this point in time, you could really pick it up in the future when we address those ordinances in greater detail and establish then the process that the general manager would be following in that situation. So again, you know, this is an evolving discussion in a way, but that would certainly be a pretty good approach in addressing this down the road.
I think that would probably be my preference, is to do it that way that you just suggested, and to keep them on the agendas on the consent part of it, and then if there's a concern, we can always pull them like we did tonight.
Certainly.
We're not getting enough of them to clog up the calendar, that's for sure.
I would support that as well.
The only thing that I'm concerned about with them coming to the board is that many times people who have things coming before the board will call up directors and talk to them directly, mm-hmm. and that takes it out of our hands, that involvement in things. So that's one of the reasons why I do like this, is that it keeps it administratively driven and not politically any interference, I guess. I think where I sense the frustration is not so much an overseeing. Of course, the protocol that is written for it is, like you said, flawed, or however you nicely said it. That being cleaned up, I think, will really help matters a lot. But the area that we don't have the authority, or minimal authority, for land use. Mm-hmm. And that's really what the heart of it is, I think. One is that lack of trust of past leadership. And two is that as directors, we don't have any authority on how the land is used in this area. And sometimes we get some real, real ugly stuff. You know, and I just say, how did that happen? Well, because the local community doesn't have any say-so or minimal say-so in that stuff being put up. That being said, I would support this resolution, just that it pulls it in-house and removes a political body from it, because, you know, we're such political animals.
Well, Director Lucy, I will say that the one potential compromise that the board could make is that will serve are certainly appropriate to be on a consent agenda. So if this board wants to just maintain immediate oversight to at least see them go through, adopt it as a matter of course in consent with a consent agenda, that would certainly provide any a member of the public who has a will serve that they're concerned about, without having to go through a hearing process, to come before the board immediately. And so that certainly, to table the resolution now and then just direct staff to put the will serves on the consent agenda may be a compromise at this point.
I have one other thought.
Mm-hmm.
And if we turn to the second page, which is 4 of 4, it includes three different items: intent to serve letters, final will serve letters, and other conditions on street lighting services. Mm-hmm. And what we might do here is only address final will serve letters, provided that the applicant has met all of the conditions established by the Board of Directors. Because it's really in the intent to serve letters where we are evaluating what are the fees, what is the impact of construction, and if the applicant has paid their fees and complied with all the other conditions, that's a pretty routine type of evaluation, and then it would give staff the ability just to issue the final will serve letters. And that way, up front, you're reviewing, you know, the details, and then staff is just making sure that they're complied with.
think that makes sense. I saw Karen nodding also.
that does make a lot of sense.
Right, that does.
If that does meet the pleasure of the board, then my recommendation would be that Jeff and I would modify the resolution and bring it back at a subsequent agenda, because I think that there would be other whereases that we would want to change.
Right.
And it wouldn't be a productive use of time to try to do it right now.
And so basically the final will serve would be what comes to the board for approval rather than the intent, the administrative?
No, opposite.
Oh, okay. The intent to serve.
Yeah, because the intent is the one that establishes the conditions.
Okay.
And then the final... staff would approve.
So if they meet those conditions
then,
that
yeah.
are set forth and approved, then they get there.
But still the intent would come on the consent agenda, provided that there's not a disagreement with the property owner and
right.
the applicant. Because if there is an interpretive, as a future agenda item, we know that we have to address a mixed-use applicant, and that might be very well one that requires a discussion item.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Support that.
And if that's the board's general direction, Jeff and I can run with it, and I don't think any action is necessary at this time.
Great.
Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you for indulging me, board.
Sure. All right, next item on the long agenda is 1011. Oh, but first I'm going to do public comment.
Thank you.
I greatly apologize for that. You know, for some reason, we used to put all our ADA laws and compliances in boxes, right? And so when I see these boxes, I just revert backwards quite a few years, but... So I try to put X's next to them. Is there anybody from the public that would like to speak?
Madam President?
Yes.
I should probably make a couple of introductory statements prior to public comment so that the public has the benefit of my introductory statements.
Okay. So why don't we do this then? Which one of these items do you think we're going to have public comment on?
Well, we're on agenda item number 11.
Oh, 11.
And so that's the sole... We only have one item under 11 today.
Okay. And so I was just... Okay, great.
And
let's take public comment after then.
Okay.
So then the public can actually hear what the directors have to say and then respond, maybe answer some of our questions that way?
Yes. And
does that need a motion? Does it need a long vote?
No.
Any of that?
Okay. And also considering that the appeal is from a property owner...
Yeah.
It would be customary to provide them special comment period. My introductory comments are really, pretty brief here. At a prior agenda, the intent to serve letter was approved by your board, including fees of just over $12,700. We went back and looked at the record and, in fact, did find the correspondence that the meter had been previously installed, and even though there's an upgrade with that, some of the fees then, front footage charges specifically, would not apply in this situation. So our revised recommendation then is to a revised fee of $6,502. There is some, confusion, understandably, for the applicant because of a February 22nd, 2008 letter from then General Manager Patrick O'Reilly, where it said that there are no fees due to OCSD, and yet then there is a subsequent letter from the district to the county on November 6, 2009, that said normal connection fees will be due time of services are actually requested. And I've seen this before, and what appears to me to be the sort of the lack of clarification in the February 22nd, 2008 letter is that, there's this statement that it says you have to obtain valid OCSD and sand district permits. And it's my general belief that the lack of clarification here is that in obtaining those permits is when the connection fees and the capacity fees may be imposed. So what Celia did in the last week is she went back through and I don't know if you've passed these out or not, but wanted to make sure to introduce them for the record. She went back in those years of, you know, prior to, during and prior to Mr. O'Reilly's letter in order to check all the capacity fees and the connection fees that the district did in fact collect. And in those accounting records is where we saw no fee of that nature for Mr. Clark. So certainly I do believe that the letter of 2008 from then General Manager Mr. O'Reilly lacked clarity and did create confusion for the applicant. But again, in terms of the $6,500 fees, Celia did go through the accounting records, and we show no evidence that that was previously paid. So with that, I'll conclude my comments and be glad to answer any questions, either now or after the applicant has had the chance to speak.
Is this Mr. Riley?
No. That's Mr. Clark, so he's the applicant.
I wasn't back around. I wasn't around in 2008. So
I will add that Mr. Clark has been more than friendly in these discussions.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. I apologize. Why don't we hear from him, and then if there's any questions or board discussion, see what his position is.
Sounds good to me.
Sure.
You don't have to follow the three-minute rule either.
Yeah. Good evening,
sir. Well, yeah, I mean, Bob had basically clarified. Yeah, to my knowledge, I was done with the lot split. I had dug up half the street and repaved it to a certain level and then curb and gutted everything, had the meter installed, paid you guys. In my mind, I was done. I was like, okay, just time to, when I can find a house to move on here, I'll be done. And then when I came to get the will served to, I finally found a house to move on to property. Had a great deal, by the way. And then I got notified of the fees, that the $12,700, and I was shocked. I'm like, that can't be right. So that's why my feeling is.
Do you feel? I'm sorry, Mr. Clark. Hang on a second. Do you have any bones with the $6,000 figure? I can't remember the exact number, $6,000-something figure that's proposed here in the staff report.
No, after reading it, I believe that's probably correct.
Okay.
So
$6,502.
Yeah.
76 cents. Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember the total when I paid originally being anywhere near till $12,700. So I don't have a problem with that, but where I would have a problem with, I feel that I'd be paying twice for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
We don't like to do that intentionally.
Okay.
That's good. Unintentionally, you know. No, I'm just joking.
Anybody else have any questions for?
So staff's recommendation is?
As expressed, the recommendation is to reduce the fees to the $6,502 and change.
Okay. Do I hear any more board comments on this? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Can we get a...
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Welcome
Thank
to
you,
the
sir.
Neighborhood.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Contrary to popular belief, we're okay people.
Well, we try not to rip people off.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
We do try not to rip people off. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Okay, moving right along through this hard agenda. We have no closed session tonight. And we have received written communication attached. I think it was late. Would this be the written?
I think so. I would ask Mr. Ogren. I think this is the late received written communication.
It's the late received.
Late received.
I did note in that we have an approval for $121,402 for our well number 5, but the project is to start December 23rd, 2014.
And I am committed to getting this project done
by then.
If it takes me 2,000 years to do it.
So I think
what about well late?
I think they put $10 in an account. By the time it accrues interest, we're going to have enough.
They obviously, that's a typo. The importance of that date, December 23rd, 2014, is that costs that we incur associated with this after that date are eligible costs. Okay. So as Tony had mentioned in his staff report, they've had electrical disconnected, gas disconnected. You know, we've been doing a little bit of the preliminary work on it, and so those costs now are eligible for reimbursement. The overall status is that on the CCs, there's Mr. Mark McToto, and he's the one who we're working with directly. He's got a draft of the agreement. It's still going to be a little while before we actually get the agreement onto your board's agenda. He has an administrative process. He has to go through the State Water Board. That's all is a little bit time-consuming. But Tony's on it, and he's getting some of the preliminary work done, and we look forward to getting that well. The other, Granite Ridge, is the one that is requesting a consideration of a purchase of water. And my thought on that one for your, again, these is correspondence, so it needs to be a future agenda item. But what I would propose to put on a future agenda is the establishment of an ad hoc committee to address this. But again, one way or another, whether your board wants it on a future agenda or not, is we got to figure out how to address it.
Yeah, I'd like to see it on the future agenda, because if we were to go into future agreements like this, we could use this as a sample discussion point, because I think, okay, so how are you going to get 7 acre feet to a location that does have lines, but they aren't our lines, and do you truck it in? Do you do wheeling? And so there is a lot to be discussed regarding this. And also, too, is I think it will tighten up our codification projects.
And, you know, and what's not clear is, are they asking for a permanent acquisition of water, which then triggers in the proposition. Can't remember the exact number, but so there are a lot of details associated with this. I'll get it on a subsequent agenda. Obviously, I'm not going to put in a lot of effort at the expense of the district on behalf of the applicant prior to getting it onto the agenda.
And that's one of my questions, is does this fall underneath our ordinance where they have to pay our legal and administrative costs?
I think that's what we need to address when we get it on the future agenda. Those are some of the topics on how to handle
$2 or $20,000 of ratepayer money to find out that we can't sell them water. Or even if we do, it'll take us so long to get it back.
Okay. So
I will shoot for the next regular agenda of March 11th, but I'm not certain, because we already have a hearing scheduled for that, for the consideration of the SSMP audit. And so, if not March 11th, then shortly thereafter.
Okay, great.
I would recommend it be afterward.
Okay. And I'll respond to the Mr. Schmidt as well.
Okay. And I wanted to just go back for a second. And this, the generator, was that funded? No. Well, was funded.
That's right.
Can you tell us a little bit how the funding came about for Well 5?
Yeah, so last summer, early summer, Tony and Marie filed an application with the State Water Board. And then somewhere probably around end of October or November, I'm thinking, I submitted some follow-up correspondence to the State Water Board. Providing some additional clarification. The initial feedback that Tony and Marie were getting was not totally positive, and I thought that there was maybe a little bit of additional communications that were warranted, so I provided that. And even after that, we had been getting some feedback from the Ventura Office of Health State Health Services. It used to be Department of Public Health, and now Drinking Water is also underneath the State Water Board, so they've been changing their names. But we got some feedback from the Ventura office that it looked unlikely that we were going to get the grant approved. And then, like a week later, we got the notice that it was approved.
Yay!
So, so really good news, and it all started with Marie and Tony getting that initial grant application out to them.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Great job.
Okay. Let's do this again and again.
Yeah.
And again. The last piece of correspondence is, again, the question back in terms of protocol, the idea is correspondence that might lead to future agenda items is the general rule that I'm following. So we've discussed the Granite Ridge application. The State Water Board, it will come back on your board once we have the grant agreement in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then this third piece of correspondence, which is technical memorandum number 4, on recycled water supply options and points of delivery, the question is whether or not your board will want to have that on the agenda. Originally, the county asked for comments by March 4th. I provided them some feedback, and I asked at least till March 12th in case you want to have it on a March 11th agenda. Obviously, that's discretionary. If you do want to have it on the March 11th agenda, I don't see a lot of comments associated with this particular work effort. I think that there's a good concept that's in here. I have some, you know, concerns with the concept. But in any case, it's does your board want to have it on your agenda in order for me to bring the comments? I could certainly comment on it independently as well as the general manager. Because of the late submittal of the correspondence and the fact that your board hasn't really had a chance to read it, I'd be more inclined now just to put my comments on your March 11th agenda.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. So remember, write save at the top of this document, not file.
Okay.
Because instead of sending it back out, I'm just going to put it in my little trusty big briefcase.
And the other thing that we do is we post all correspondence to the web after your meeting.
Okay.
So by Thursday or Friday, this will all get posted to the website.
Very good. All right. And then was there any other late written communications?
Other than things that I am under working with Mr. Minnery under advice of legal counsel, there was no others.
Okay, great. So anybody have any other future agenda items that they'd like to put on the agenda? I know that finance will probably want to have some time on the agenda, right?
Want to have what on the agenda? I didn't hear you.
Well, that's
future agenda items.
Of course.
That'll be on the special meeting.
Okay, so if it's the March meeting, then we're in annual budget discussion. Would that go under special? Well, you'll figure out where it goes on the agenda, but we're going to have a finance. We're going to start on the annual budget. I mean, we've already started. We've already done the goals and everything, but are we going to do the final?
Yeah, I wasn't anticipating moving into the budget cycle yet in March.
Okay, I don't want to rush things along. You know, once you get caught up on your audits, then you want to just rush everything along. So,
yes.
You know.
Underneath our goals, some of the new work effort that we'll be doing in March and April is human resources related.
Mm-hmm.
Need to start working on job descriptions, salary surveys, and we know that we'll be reentering negotiations on the MOU in the near future. So, you know, with respect to the goals and the most immediate things that will be back on the agenda is next week we're planning to have a special meeting in order to initiate the Prop 218 proceedings. In the meanwhile, we've scheduled a Finance Committee meeting for Friday.
What day is that meeting scheduled for again? Is that the
March 11th?
For Wednesday, March 4th at 4 o'clock. Our finance meeting may need to be rescheduled for Monday. We might have had a mistake in the posting of that agenda. That still works for Wednesday, though, because Wednesday's is a special board meeting, and so it's a 24-hour Brown Act noticing requirement as opposed to a 72-hour Brown Act notification. So, again, the special meeting on Wednesday is still a go. I may need to work with the Finance Committee members, though, to reschedule the Finance Committee meeting.
Okay,
very good. Special meeting's at 4?
On Wednesday the 4th. It's not set yet, but that's tentatively what we're shooting for.
Okay, yeah. So it will be 2.5 hours before the regular scheduled meeting.
No, that's the only meeting.
Oh, that's the first meeting I have.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Gosh. Okay, very good. So any other pressing information? Is there any directors that want to give any nice comments or anything like that?
I like the way the minutes have been redesigned. It was excellent.
Yeah.
And,
I like it a lot.
Good.
Also, the Oceana Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast.
That was great. Thank you, everybody, for you guys working it.
Made $1,000 for local use.
Nice.
Yes.
That means two more kids go to leadership's training camp.
And special thanks, of course, always to Linda Austin and her family for making the depot available and everything they do. Really wonderful pillars of the community.
You know, it worked out just about perfect because they ran out of eggs and ran out of sausage just about when the last person was walking through the door.
Yeah.
Two people only got pancakes, so that was a little bit of a bummer, but everybody else got pancakes, eggs.
They got a lot of pancakes.
You shouldn't have had seconds, Paavo. That's why.
I didn't eat any. Well, I had a couple of sausages.
What I like about it, though, is it's like a town hall check-in.
Yeah, it is.
You know, people get their coffee, they get their juice, and they just go about starting to yak, and the waves of people coming through. What would you say? Probably 200?
Yeah, that was about right. That was about 200.
At $5 a person, that's 200
people. Yeah, that's about
1,000. Yeah.
I'll also remind your board that under our agreement with the depot, we have the ability to use the depot twice a year, I believe, for meetings and town hall events and public outreach and those kind of things.
Yeah.
And same with the community center.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Linda's very, very generous with letting the community use the depot. She just doesn't want you to pound nails in the walls and I understand that. But, it's really a nice event. I know a lot of people have actually come over from Arroyo Grande now and of course, Grover Beach, you know, and they just like hanging out with us over here, I guess.
Yeah, I talked to some people who literally were just driving by and stopped and just had a wonderful time. They were so excited about having the breakfast.
Yeah, so it's a wonderful thing that the local Kiwanis Club does and the depot does together jointly.
On a similar note, I spoke with Andrea Bernier. I think almost everybody here knows Andrea, and she's working on procuring a substantial number of computers for the Oceano Community Center to make available for the youth and the public to be able to go in and.
That's neat.
Yeah, for them to be able to go in and use those for education and recreation and make it available to our community.
So and she's staffing it?
That's very exciting.
I don't know. Right now the work is getting the computers. I don't know how they're, because the school district, of course, is running the community center, so I don't know what their staffing levels are. There either has been a meeting with Jim Hogenboom, so those are all discussions that will be had or have been had or are being
great.
Had. So anyway, hopefully that works out for our community.
I know the library has a similar, smaller, much smaller scale program, but
the library's great. I don't know if you guys know Chiquita, who works over there at the library, but they have a few computers. They have English and Spanish books and language stuff available. Whenever they're open, it's full of people and it's very busy. It's a great place.
And you know, when that library was moved in, I had the good fortune of already living here. They moved it in on the trucks because it's a module, right? Mm-hmm. And he cut it a little short and landed it in the middle of the street. You know, the module actually was in the middle of the street. Might have been on its side, but it was here. We were all cheering because at least it made it here. And it was only supposed to be for 5 years, and it's been almost 10 years now.
Well, I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's a community asset.
Yeah, it's a permanent fixture.
It's a community asset, that's for sure.
It's loved by all.
And there is a Friends of Oceano Library group that everybody can join. I think it's $50 to join, and you get to support the library. So I'd encourage everyone to join that as well.
Because remember, that's the one thing people can't take from you or your children is their education. So on that note, I would entertain any public comment. No, hearing none. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Do we adjourn or do we adjourn to the special meeting?
We don't have a special meeting. Good point. In adjourning, the agenda does state the next regular board meeting, but as we've discussed, we are planning on scheduling a special meeting on next Wednesday. We don't need to adjourn to that. We just simply need to agendize that special meeting.
Okay.
But I think it's a nice point of clarification, since we have a statement in there that the next regular meeting is on March 11th, but we do anticipate a special meeting next week.
Okay.
And like always, we invite everybody from the public to come down and talk to us, you know, either at the podium or individually, but we really do like hearing from the public, not just in Vaughn's, but, you know, here too.
I make a motion.
I always get it in Vaughn's. I can't get in that store without, and it's always, you know, a positive experience, but it doesn't matter. I just can't get through that store.
I make a motion we close the meeting.
Adjourn.
Adjourn.
Second.
That's the word.
Good night.
Good night.
We have to have a second.
I did.
Lori
seconded.
I know we're all in favor.
All in favor.
Any opposed?
Okay. Good night, everybody. Sure.